5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. If you'd like to listen to bonus episodes, go sign up to the Patreon. That's patreon.com. Anyway, you'll find a way.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. A very lazy episode. I shouldn't say that. I haven't even started it. I shouldn't give the impression that it's a failure before it's even begun. Hello, James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. I'm James Donald Forbes McCann. I'm trying to buy a boat. I'm in Australia with my family. We're near the end of our time in beautiful Australia before returning to the United States. And it has been nice to see the land down under do so very well at the Olympic Games. I know that has nothing to do with buying a boat. Oh, maybe it's not too late for me to partake in the Olympic Games. Certainly too late for me to become a skateboarder. Have you seen the skateboarding? Have you seen the girls skateboarding? They are they're girls. It's not women's. The oldest age of a female competitor in the skateboarding is 12. And none of them seem very good. There's a lot of falling down. You watch an event like the kayaking, they make one small mistake and they are devastated. You watch the girls skateboarding, they fall off 4 out of 5 times, they get bronze. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Does it make a lot of sense to you? You would think when they included skateboarding, they'd go, let's make an event that gets the best skaters in the world and gives the best one a medal. As they do in tennis. You'd be pretty weirded out if tennis was in the Olympics and then everyone came out and they were 12. It's not as though skateboarding's been around for such a short amount of time. It's that there aren't luminaries of the game. You know, they go into this poor girl who's just lost in the skateboarding. This poor little Australian girl. And they go, whatever your name is, little girl, how do you feel? I feel a bit disappointed. Bit disappointed. That I didn't do good at the skateboarding. And they go, oh. And it's just her first Olympics, you know. It'll be all right. Hang in there. You'll be back. She's never coming back. There wasn't one girl 4 years older than her at the girls' Olympic skateboarding. Excuse me. This is not what I was meant to talk about today. It has been very nice to see the Australians getting up. Yes, if I became an Olympic athlete, maybe I could make enough money to buy a boat. No, I don't think that's a way that I'll be progressing in the future. I haven't seen the break dancing yet. Maybe that'll, in the way that the new skateboarding is all little girls, maybe the new break dancing will all be fat men who've never broken danced before. I wonder why it's all little girls. Excuse me. I wonder why it's all little girls. I assume it's because they invented, like, a course. They standardized skateboarding. And it's something that it helps to be small. You know, like you're less likely to fall off if you have less mass and less weight. But how do you quantify? I mean, you look at the X Games. They look like human-grown adults. Excuse me. As I was saying, Australia's doing very well in the medal tally. And that's very nice because I'm in Australia and I'm from Australia. And boy, we're all very proud of the Olympians. And indeed, I've become something of an Olympian. I'm an Olympian of the media. It's with great pleasure that I announce that I have joined the Australian mainstream media in a very big and exciting way. I've done 2 big interviews this week. There was going to be a third. in the mainstream media. I'll tell you a little story about that. But I was on ABC Radio National with Patricia Carnevales, and I'll be playing that interview in full. Don't you worry about that. Am I allowed to play that interview in full? I don't know. I would relish getting a letter from the ABC saying, take that down. I'll give full credit. It's fair use. They didn't pay me. I didn't have any conversations about what I couldn't put up on my own podcast. A full interview that I had on Radio National Breakfast will be coming up. Another thing I did was I spoke to two wonderful gentlemen who host a late-night commercial radio broadcast. And if there's one thing that I'm going to criticize my performances on these shows for, it's that I am so slavishly desperate to be liked. I become very debauched on the commercial radio interview. And I'm frankly a little too prim, proper, and PC on the ABC for my liking, which makes me think, what did I manage to avoid by not getting to go on The Project? The Project is the big, I would say, orthodox centre-left mainstream news program on Channel 10 in Australia, watched by still several people. It plays on national television at, I think, 6:30 at night. And I was very gracious to receive an invitation to go on The Project. And I thanks to everybody who helped to make that invitation happen. I flew to Melbourne after my shows in Perth. Thank you for everyone coming out to the show in Perth. And there I had to get up very early in the morning, and I touched down in Melbourne at, I don't know, midday Melbourne time. Big time difference. Big flight to find out that I had been bumped from The Project and I was in Melbourne for no reason. I was able to organize a show that night and go on a wonderful Lewis Spears' podcast. That'll be coming out. Possibly more listeners to Lewis Spears' podcast than The Project. Who can say? Probably. I would expect so. Not that listenership is the only metric of excellence. This show's gotten a lot worse since we had more people listening to it. Hey. Well, I say that, but I say that because I think everything I do is crappy. Don't forget to come out to my shows this week. Now's a good time to mention the shows. I'm going to be in Brisbane, I want to say on Wednesday. Two shows, one of them still on sale. I'm going to be in Melbourne on Thursday. Big room, almost sold out. Almost enough. We've got about 100 tickets. It's a big room. And then Friday and Saturday. Friday show sold out. Saturday show, still some tickets on sale in Sydney. And then back home on Sunday. And then flying out very soon after that to America. Tickets on sale now. But yes, I didn't get to go on The Project. And I wondered if something was wrong when they moved me to a pre-record. I thought maybe these people are afraid of me. I was wondering what the funniest thing I could do on national television was, and I had decided it would be vaping. I thought it would be very funny to vape, but in a pre-record, they wouldn't allow that to happen. Also, I don't like vaping, but that would be a sacrifice that I would be willing to make. Anyway, they wouldn't let me on The Project, because Peking Duck went on The Project. That's an Australian dance music group who've begun having raves at Bunnings, which is our Home Depot. Although I've got to say, if you were doing a rave at Home Depot, you'd be playing a lot of reggaeton towards the early hours of the morning. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm saying there are hundreds of Mexicans standing out the front of Home Depot looking for a job. And I think that's beautiful. And I think stereotypes of laziness are not taking that into account. I've never seen anyone more up for a day's hard work than the Mexican gentleman out front of Home Depot. God bless you, fellas. All fellas. Fellas to the last. I'll tell you what wasn't fellas to the last. People showing up to my show in Perth. So lovely to have about 60% fellas. 60 to 75, 75, 80. It was wonderful to be in Perth, as it will be wonderful to be in the other cities. Tickets on sale now. Let's hear the interviews. Let's hear first the ribald commercial radio interview, and then immediately afterwards, let's hear me on Radio National with Patricia Carnevales. I think that's how you say it.
You're up late with Zach and Dom on KISS. One of the most exciting comedians in the country at the moment is James Donald Forbes McCann. He is touring the country right now, and it is a great treat to welcome him to the Zach and Dom show. James, thanks so much for making time to join us.
Zach and Dom, what a pleasure it is to be here with you at this insane hour of the night.
Well, we're trying to figure out at the moment as we're talking to you on Zoom. You seem to be holding pretty professional equipment. You got a microphone in front of you. But am I mistaken, or are you in your car at the moment?
Oh, yeah. No, look, the Volvo XC90, I'll have you know, is acoustically one of the most exciting spaces. You don't want me talking through you down the line in a kitchen?
No.
Bouncy,
no.
Reflect. No, you want me here with the soft mahogany dash and the very welcoming for audio. A leather seating.
We've heard that about Volvos.
Yeah.
Audibly, they're one of the best cars.
Oh, yeah. Now, you get this interview in a Suzuki Swift, you won't be able to hear a word I'm saying.
No.
But in the Volvo, not one problem.
No, it's beautiful. And look, James, there's so much we want to talk with you about, but obviously you spend quite a bit of your time in the US these days, and it's been a bit of a crazy week over in America with Joe Biden.
What happened?
Well,
I've been following it.
There was an old man, he was going to run for president, he's not doing it anymore.
Oh yeah, I heard he's dead.
Well...
Has anyone seen Joe?
Yeah.
Joe, where you at?
Is that your theory, James? Do you think
I don't have any theories, I just, you know, I see things as they truly are. I'd like to see him.
Yeah.
Like if, you know, I mean, I saw someone say that, you know, that letter of resignation, if this was a ransom, you know, that would not constitute a proof of life.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got to see Joe.
Yeah,
where have you gone?
Here's a question for you, James, because proof of life used to be holding up a newspaper with today's date on it, but newspapers are dying. So how in the modern day do you prove to someone you're alive today?
You got
to
wait till a Monday and get that beautiful, glossy new idea. It's what Kate's been up to. It's the only print media that Australia still needs.
That's a good point. It is, okay, well, if people are criticising Biden for his age, James, he's 81. What do you think the ideal age for a leader of the free world is?
That's a great question. How old's Trump? Nah, seriously, folks, I think we need some... It's good to have the youth, you know? But then I look at our politicians. I look at Anthony and Peter, and they don't have a whole lot of energy either. They both look like pretty ground down. It's the Gen Xers. They have no life in them, you know? They're
James,
too bogged down by irony. Do you know what I'm saying?
The other night on the show, we discovered that the mayor of Launceston is a 31-year-old guy with tattoos up to his chin.
Nice.
Full sleeves, full neck. Is that what you'd like to see a bit more of in politics?
I mean, I'm happy that anyone wants to take responsibility for Launceston. I've seen it. Goodness me. You wouldn't get me putting my face to some of those choices that they're making there.
Yeah, it's a good point. But we found out, James, $140,000 a year to be the mayor of Launceston.
Not enough. Not enough. Goodness me. I mean, does this show go out to Tasmania?
Not currently.
No, we're
nothing
fine.
Nothing can help Tasmania. They've been screwed forever.
Yeah. It's a good point. Well, I mean, as someone who spent a bit of time in the US, you can probably compare life in Australia to life over there. What do you reckon we're doing better and what are we doing worse?
We're too uptight.
Yep.
It's time to become a little more loosey-goosey. We all like to act like we're all very relaxed. This is nonsense. We are a very uptight. Surely you've noticed this. I mean, I've refrained from saying any swear words yet on the radio in case I get in trouble.
Well, but, it is interesting that, you know, I have thought before on TV... The MA stuff comes out after 10 o'clock. Radio, we still can't... You're not allowed to swear at any time, yeah.
I remember... Maybe you're not old enough, but do you remember the glory days of Essa Biesa when the, you know, 10 o'clock rolls around and the nipple is let loose? All these beautiful foreign film nipples.
Yeah.
That and the other, and you're sitting there with your parents scrolling around after the football for something to watch, and then you just see some of the most vicious... Korean pornographic scenes.
Do you know what?
I think broadcast that.
2006 Soccer World Cup, I reckon SBS had the rights. And I was a young year 8 boy getting into soccer for the first time. And in the middle of the night, it was when these games would be on with the Germany time difference. I remember watching the Socceroos win a great game. And then immediately afterwards, I learned things about the human body that at that point in my young life, I had never learned.
Bring it back. It's cowardice on behalf of the SBS. Nowadays, you watch it, it's all Piss Week, Viceland documentaries and I don't know, news from Estonia. Bring back the buzzies. That's all I ask.
Speaking of Australia versus America, the game's about to kick off in Paris. How do you think the Aussies are going to go?
Dreadful. Same as every year. No, it's... I got in this big argument saying that we were the greatest country in the world at swimming and tennis.
Mm.
And it turns out we're the greatest country in the world per capita at swimming and tennis. But actually,
okay.
We don't do that well. But I do love that first week of the Olympics where we are in the swimming before the all of the American persons can run very fast and whatever, throw heavy shit. But we that first week when we dominate the swimming and we're on top of the ladder. Just for a little bit. Isn't that nice?
Well, we go pretty well in the Commonwealth Games when you get rid of America, China, Russia, basically all the big dogs.
Eat it, Kenya. You've got nothing but the marathon.
Well, speaking of trying to put Australia on the global stage, James, you have come up with what feels a little bit like a supervillain plot for world domination of sorts. We want to get to the bottom of how you're doing with your plan to get your hands on a catamaran in a moment. We'll get to that on the other side of this. You're up late with Zach and Dom on Kiss. You're up late with Zach and Dom on Kiss. We are still joined by the wonderful James Donald Forbes McCann touring the country at the moment.
Hey, James, we want to ask about the catamaran. Have you got it yet?
Oh, yes, the James... Now, if people want to take a break from radio, they can tune in to the James Donald Forbes McCann catamaran plan. It's hard to Google while you're driving, but maybe you could ask Siri about that.
Mm.
And not yet. It's growing. We're getting there. We've got a new book of poems coming out, trying to make $500,000.
So this podcast. Is your podcast where you want to make a certain amount of money to buy a catamaran.
We're looking for $500,000, if we can.
So it's a good catamaran. You're not going for like some secondhand gum tree thing.
Well, I mean, $500,000 still buys you a nice boat. I mean, when I started the podcast, that would buy you a reasonable house in outer Melbourne.
Yeah.
And now it will buy you a small hole in Coober Pedy.
Yeah.
But the boat market, you know, it's not there's not as much sea to be filled in. So you're not paying for as much water estate. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. And I've often thought that when I look over the vast ocean. I often think, you know what? There's a lot of real estate here that's going totally unused.
Millennials. That's what I'm terming it right now. It's a new term. Millennials of the sea. The millennial.
Yeah.
I think that instead of getting a house, especially, I mean, in Sydney, in that beautiful harbour, get out there on a canal boat.
Mm.
You know?
Do you see this as the future? Because some people are concerned we're running out of land with the population growing. No,
the future is a violent world war where there's enough death that house prices have to come down.
Well, what you're sharing there is hopeful news for the survivors. Do you reckon you'll be one of the survivors?
In the war?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have myself... I think I'd have a plum. I'd like to do Semaphore. I don't know if that'll still be in it. I'd like to be the chap with the flags, sending the boys over the trenches. That's my personal dream.
You're not going to retreat on the catamaran by then? Ideally, you would have...
I don't know if you've paid attention to the geopolitical fault lines, but when the war comes, one place you don't want to be near Australia is the oceans.
Yeah,
I reckon that might be where some of the trouble's coming from.
Yeah.
So you want to retreat.
Ooh,
maybe that hole
wouldn't it be nice to... I could run a blockade. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice? The warships are out there, and I've got to get our sweet coal to the black markets of Brazil. I do that on my little boat.
Yeah, do you think that your catamaran will be enlisted? You know how in war times you kind of have to get every boat that's around?
Well, like a Dunkirk situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Where a poor little, a simple boy hits his head on the floor and we all gather together. Did you see that movie?
Yeah.
I did, yeah. What was your issue with it?
Just so sad.
Yeah, well, it was about D-Day, wasn't it? I mean, not the lightest subject material.
It was about the retreat. I'll have you know, it was about the retreat. D-Day is the good one.
Oh,
that's where we go back.
Okay.
This is the preface to D-Day.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
This is your, that's your, you know, Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
This is Empire Strikes Back type situation. Darkest Before the Dawn.
And I would like all my history taught to me with old Star Wars references, please.
Well, buddy, if you thought Dunkirk was about D-Day, you take what you can get.
Yeah. Do you know what, though, James?
That stood for Dunkirk, James? Where were you operating at?
I was, actually.
I was just mesmerised by Harry Styles. I don't remember much of the film at all, just thinking, why is the guy from One Direction in World War II? What's going on here?
too sexy. They didn't. I don't know if you've seen photos from the 40s, but people were uglier.
No, I hear you. Well, look, James, you are touring Australia with tickets on sale now. You can visit jdfmccann.com/gigs to get your tickets. Good luck with the tour, the rest of the tour, and good luck with the catamaran. We hope you get it. In fact, we want to come along for the for a ride on the catamaran.
Yeah,
when you
have
on
a ride?
No, but I thank you so much for having had me on the show to talk about this beautiful James Donald Forbes McCann tour and James Donald Forbes McCann podcast. You boys, you have a future. Yeah. I think you've got a future. I've met a lot of commercial radio people in my time. Mm. Neither of you appear to have developed the drug habit visibly as of yet.
Not yet.
I say that puts you head and shoulders above the competition.
Well, you know why I think, James, is because we have a plan to get jet skis.
Yeah.
And we're staying on the straight and narrow until we do.
That's a much cheaper and more affordable plan. You spend 6 months working in a mine, and you can make that dream come true eight or nine times.
We'll tell you our plan. We want to jet ski to New Zealand. I don't know if anyone's ever done it.
I love it.
Let's jet ski across the ditch.
No, you got to now make sure you stop at Norfolk Island. Check out some of those glorious pine trees.
Okay.
You know, give yourself a rest. And then I believe in you.
Yeah, yeah.
I support this venture.
Yeah.
I believe in you. Let me tell you.
Hmm.
Commit. Who knows what you're capable of?
Thank you.
Yeah, well, that's beautiful, James.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for joining the show. Great to chat.
Real honor, privilege. Thank you so much for having me.
You're Up Late with Zach and Dom on Kiss.
Up Late with Zach and Dom on Kiss.
Wouldn't it be good if I could transcend cult status in my own country? Wouldn't it be nice to go mainstream? So this is an open letter to the mainstream media of Australia. Can I please come on?
That's comedian James Donald Forbes McCann, the self-confessed comedian with a cult following known for his dark and biting sense of observational comedy and prolific poetry. He's just returned home ahead of a national tour, having worked some really big stages in New York, LA, Texas, but he's clearly craving more airtime, and well, he's begged for it, really. We decided to answer James's call to join, you know, the mainstream media, and so here we are, right now, right here, live on the program. James McCann, welcome to Breakfast.
PK, thank you so much for having me on. It's genuinely a real treat for me to be here on the ABC.
Now, your wish has been granted. We're kind like that. How does it feel to be, you know, platformed in the mainstream media?
You know, it feels good. I worry sometimes when I watch the ABC that the public is losing confidence in it, because great talents like myself are not showcased too often. So for the future of the ABC, I'm absolutely thrilled that I'm here.
So you're
lending
giving
my credibility.
This is giving to the public broadcaster.
It's a two-way de tango type situation, I do believe. And to do my part for Auntie is a great honour that I carry in my heart.
Why do you want to, in your words, transcend cult status in your own country?
I mean, wouldn't it be nice to be more successful and to have more money? I've got three young children that I can't really provide for at the moment. We've spent the last few months in America being very poor. We lived the first 3 months in Appalachia due to a very strange mix-up and getting fired from a job on the way over there. And I've now moved to Texas. But yes, this is a bank trip to come back to Australia at this point to try and make as much money as I can to continue staying alive.
Okay, what do you make of the current state of the media?
In Australia?
Wherever you want to answer that question.
I mean, it's weird because I left just after the referendum vote. So I've been trying to follow Australian politics from afar, but I cannot get a purchase looking at the media on what the tone of the country is. This is a very strange. If one is not here, one can't really tell what's happening on the street and in people's hearts.
So what's happening in the hearts of people in the United States? I mean, that's all we've been talking about in the last couple of weeks because they've been a wild
ride. Fine.
Are they fine?
Yeah, I went over there. I thought they were on the precipice of a race war and civil war and all sorts of unpleasant violence. People just sort of want to have a couple of Bud Lights and watch the football, seems to be my overall take. People are not ready for armed violence in the street of America.
So Although you think it's been a bit overspoken about?
I've got to say, there hadn't been an assassination attempt when I left the country. So maybe that vibe has shifted.
Mm.
But I was shocked at how pleasant and harmonious the United States was.
Amazing.
I felt like I'd been lied to.
So is it easier to find a cult status over there than it is here?
Maybe. I mean, they have more people. So if you do get a cult, it's a bigger and more lucrative
cult. Your
cult
is always going to be bigger there, isn't it? That's right.
I mean, what is it? What if I have a cult status in Adelaide, that gets me 200 very beautiful people coming to my shows. But isn't it nice to sometimes have more, you know?
Now, there's a lot said about comedy now. Some people, you know, it depends where you the prism in which you see these things through. Some people complain that it's become too woke. There's been a watering down of stand-up comedy. Others really contest that. What do you think?
I mean, it's challenging because I'm in it. I mean, I did stand-up in a comedy of all sorts in Australia for 15 years. And now I think having overcome the cultural cringe, you've got to go away to come back. Things are going very well. Again, very happy to be here, but the tour's going very well. But how does one, I mean, you know, I'm a straight white man looking back at my life for the last 15 years doing comedy here, and I go, did I miss out on opportunities because of who I am or because I wasn't very good? And that's something you can never really know in your heart, you know. So I'd like to think I'm good, and then I turn up in America and all these people think I'm good, and I get to go play Radio City Music Hall and all these things. So maybe I was good, and maybe people can't say anything in Australia. I'm just saying.
You're just asking.
I'm just asking questions, PK. I'm just out here.
But in America, you weren't being cancelled.
No. But also, I seem ethnic and strange in America. They go, ooh, who's this man from overseas? This is a bit different. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They don't know that Australians aren't really special. You can turn up with a funny accent. I thought I had a very laid-back, Adelaide, non-convict, Fraser-type accent, la-di-da. Over there, they all think I sound like Kangaroo Jack or something.
That's funny.
So the foreign impact is making
something. You do have an Adelaide non-convict sound. That's true. But
you and I know that.
Yeah, I know that. I can
tell.
Insiders,
yes.
There's nothing convict about you. And yet, you're telling me that that you had convict vibes.
I turn up and I say, hello, how are you? And they go, oh, yeah, mate, how you doing? Like they can't distinguish what I sound like from the most violent street bogan, which is nice. It gives me a sense of authenticity.
Oh, that's no wonder you like it there so much.
I think this is how rich people fleeing Venezuela must feel, as some of my friends are, when they seem like very earthy and cool, but actually they've been members of the pseudo-aristocracy for many generations.
How's your family feel travelling around with you? They hate it, right? Okay.
I mean, we all hate it. To save, we've got no money. So to come back, I've got three small children. One of them is under two, and if you have an under two-year-old, you don't have to pay for a seat on the flight, but I should have. We flew Austin to LA, LA to Fiji, Fiji to Sydney, Sydney to Melbourne. It was 50 hours between sleeps, and I was holding a baby the whole time. So, yeah, it was rough. I just flew in from America, and boy, are my arms tired from holding that child the whole time. It was a dreadful experience.
Oh, that's very relatable for anyone who's held a child for a long time. Well, good luck with your show. Congratulations on making it onto the mainstream media.
Now, can I come on Q&A? I think I'd be very good. I've got all sorts of opinions. I'd spice that up. I don't know how the ratings are doing. I think I could help.
Not on air at the moment, but when we're back in August, we'll consider you. I don't make all the calls. Thanks so much, James.
I don't believe that. You're a powerful woman.
James, I'm going to cancel you. Comedian James McCann, who's currently touring stand-up comedy shows across Australia.
A bit of fun there. This is me back, by the way, not on the radio now, just talking in a living room before I go to bed. Bit of fun there, talking on the radio. I don't know if that's had an impact on the ticket sales, hopefully. Maybe you're listening to this podcast now because you heard one of those interviews, and this has been superfluous. I'm so tired, I almost said the word tautological. We've been trying to figure out all the things with flights and living and money and taxes. And it's just, it has not felt like a holiday coming back to Australia, I'll tell you that. And I haven't seen nearly as many people as I would have liked to. But I will say, I did get to see the wedding of Jack and Margot. Listeners to my other podcast, The Catacast, will be well aware of Jack. And if you've listened to older episodes of this episode, you'll know Margot. Have I brought them together? Some people are saying that. Jack and Margot got married. Beautiful ceremony. Lovely reception. Really, if you know what I'm saying, by really well-emceed reception. And by that, I mean that I was the MC. I got the MC Jack and Margo's wedding. And there was a slight issue with the music. The music would not plug in to the laptop. And so people struggled to boogie-woogie on the dance floor for a time. But one lady stood up and said, there's a piano in the corner. And just started to play on the piano. And it was actually very, very lovely to have her, you know, just real, actual. There was a band for the first part of the evening, so that was great. People got to dance to that. But then when the band went home, this lady just stood up, just this lady who was at the wedding, said, I can play the piano. And, you know, often someone stands up and says, well, I can play the piano. And they can't. If you're at an airport and there's a child. But this lady actually could really play the piano. And then Pat Trainer. And if you ever have a wedding and you need a DJ, I recommend getting Pat Trainer. Jack had apparently texted Pat Trainer to see if he could do some DJing, and Pat didn't get the message. That's what I understood to be happening, as I was frantically trying to put things together as the MC. Pat went home, got his DJ equipment, came back, set it up. On went the Stevie Wonder. Wild went the festivities. Congratulations once again to Jack and Margot. Raise your glasses. I got the opportunity to do my wedding MC joke, which is the joke that the MC, Brandon Manarino, did at my wedding, which is, I'll do it for you now. You go, mate, you don't have to do it in an Australian-Italian accent, but you can if you want. Mate, you're going to learn a couple of things now that you're married. You know, your wife's father, that's your father-in-law. Your wife's mother, that's your mother-in-law. But your wife, mate, she is the law. I didn't find it especially funny when it was said at my wedding, but I find it extremely funny to say at the weddings of other people who don't like hearing the joke. Anyway, out on tour. On Wednesday, we leave. What's that? That'll be tomorrow. Yes. It's tomorrow now, and it'll be tomorrow when this comes out. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. I'll be traveling with Sam Clark. We're going to be, I think, recording the shows. We'll try and whip up a little Australian special while we're out on the road. So there'll be more James Donald Forbes McCann comedy hitting the internet soon. Oh, I should mention that my Christmas special has been re-released by 800-pound gorilla as a Christmas in July thing. So I'll give that a plug. 800-pound gorilla, the James Donald Forbes McCann 2022 Christmas special. How many views has that got now? 2,000. Wow. Good stuff. 2,000 more than I had before. Excellent. And the comments are positive, mostly. Christmas in July. Okay, Lamau. Great. This is genius. That's a good comment. 45 minutes of rubbish. Fair. This sucks. Worst comedy show I've watched. Thank you very much. James is funny as hell, dot, dot, dot. Usually, big swing and a miss here. So a controversial, I mean, there are other positive ones as well. Did I already say this is genius? Never realized Come All Ye Faithful was such a nasty banger. So hopefully winning some new people to the cause with the 800-pound gorilla media. James Donald Forbes became Catamaran Plan. Whoa. I just say Catamaran Plan automatically after saying my own name. What a sad thing that is to be branded 800-pound gorilla, James McCann Christmas special, brackets, full comedy special. That's out now. So much more content. We'll have something fancy for the Patreon this week, and I think we'll record the next few episodes in our hotel rooms. It'll be very different from the last time we were on tour. You know, the hotel rooms that we've been booked in, they're quite nice this time around. I didn't ask to go in nice hotel rooms, but someone else, the good people at TEG Dainty, have organized this tour, and they're putting us up in nice places. I'm looking forward to coming and seeing you at the shows. What will there be at the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan? What will there be at the tour? Oh, a couple of jokes, a couple of stories, a couple of poems, a little bit of crowd work, although I don't really like to call it crowd work. I like to call it crowd pleasure. Seems a more accurate name. Excuse me, I'm falling apart. I love you, I miss you, I want you, I need you. Catamaran Ho. There's a Patreon. if you wish to sign up. Thank you to everyone who signed up to the Patreon. So many new Patreons. We'll definitely have a more energetic Patreon episode, I think, than this has been. Oh, Nelly. Oh, Nelly, Nelly, Nelly. Hey, here's a song I wrote on a flight before I knew I was bumped from the project. Have a good one. I love you, miss you, I want you, I need you. Catamaran hug. Farewell. Goodbye.